We are live. March 12th, 2020. Special report, Patriot Power Hour. This is your host, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters. It is not Tuesday night, our normal episode night. Nope. It's Thursday, March 12th, 2020. We've seen one of the biggest drops ever in the stock market, let alone all the other turmoil going on in the financial system right now. Coronavirus is the named culprit, but is that really what's to blame right now? We'll be getting into this and a lot more. Let me bring in my co-host, good friend, Future Dan. How you doing, sir?
Yeah, it's a historic day, Ben. Why don't you give us the headlines? Let's get right into this.
Let's go right for it. First off, we have one of the biggest crashes, and I'm going to say it with absolutely no qualms about it. One of the biggest crashes of all time, fourth biggest percentage drop in the markets, pretty much since there have been markets. This is going all the way back to the Great Depression, 1929 and beyond. What do we got? Let me go to futuredanger.com. Follow along, folks at home. We have probably the most crazy news we've ever seen here. Let's just focus only on the third column, though. Economics for now.
Worst it's ever been.
Worst it's ever been. Absolutely. We have two SHTF indicators here. Trading halted and extreme after hours repos reported, as well as debt massively monetized. All of these, the worst they've ever been in the 3+ years of Future Danger, and definitely as long as the Patriot Power Hour has been on. I'll quickly read the headlines. I want to get your thoughts after I do that. Of course, we had trading halted on Monday, but we saw it again today on Thursday. Just at the open, those circuit breakers were hit. Thursday morning, Dow Jones Industrial shut down for 15-minute trading halt. As soon as that was over, dipped even further. Extreme after hours repos reported. Guess what? We've been talking about this ad nauseum. We were sick of it. We were like, do we have to talk about repos every single week? Well, I'm glad we have, because we saw not just $60 billion, not just $100 billion, but essentially $1.5 trillion in capital injections today. Absolute emergency reaction from the Federal Reserve today. And guess what? It did not stop the collapse. Debt massively monetized. The Fed steps in with cash injections to, quote-unquote, guard against market pressure. Fed unleashes $4 trillion in repo bailout. I'll get into some of those specifics. But really, at one point, what does it mean? $1.5 trillion, $4 trillion, $50 billion, quadrillion? Like, this is almost funny money to start with. But we're seeing just unbelievable amounts of not just injection of cash and liquidity, but panic. And guess what? Not making a big difference. Today, I was literally out eating lunch at work, and the news came across, hey, the Fed is injecting $500 billion per day, which totals to $1.5 trillion in their overall scheme. The markets went from minus 10% to minus 5%. Okay, nice little bounce back within an hour. Rolled over, back down to minus 10% essentially for the day. So has the Fed lost control? I'll pass it over to you. What is going on?
Yeah, and also at black on red, lower in the column is actually the stock market crashing. We've had a crash, Ben.
Oh my God, I didn't even go all the way down. You're absolutely right. I'm not even joking, not even trying to play this up. You got to keep scrolling. There's four SHTF indicators just in economics itself.
Yeah. That's today. It's the fourth worst crash in a single day. Let me put it into perspective. In 1929, the second and third worst hit 2 days consecutively. It had a bounce back 2 days later on October 30th with the third greatest gain. But then by 8 days later after that first crash, it did another 10-point decline with the fifth worst crash. That was the Great Depression. We all know how that turned out. All right? We got 87, the number one downer day in Dow Jones history, 23% nearly, okay? It bounced back with 10 points within 2 days. So that could happen. That could happen again this time. But that was a dead cat bounce because the ninth worst in 87, the ninth worst day in the Dow Jones hit, and that was 5 days later. To put this in perspective, and this is what's really opening my eyes right now, is that in the 2008 financial crisis, we only had the 10th worst single day drop, and it was followed, it was preceded and followed by the fifth and sixth highest rises in the Dow Jones. Okay. So this today, what happened today doesn't look as bad as 87 and 29, but it stands behind those two events as the worst ever.
And everybody has heard of Black Monday, and that's what they called October 19th, 1987, when 22.6% of the market was lost in one day. That's still the all-time high. And as you said, the second and third worst of all time were October 28th and October 29th of 1929. But guess what? The fourth worst of all time, we're talking essentially 90 years, 90 plus years, was today. And I think what you're going at, and I think is super important, is this going to bounce back? And if it doesn't, what does that portend? If it doesn't bounce back and we see another 5, 10, 15, 20% drop in the next week or two without a big bounce, we are, in my opinion, equal or worse than the 2008 crisis. And more importantly, is there even a floor to this at this point?
Yeah, and it seems psychologically in this country to be tied to coronavirus, where we had 39 deaths tonight, okay, in the United States. 45 states affected, and all kinds of medical pandemic-related indicators that when Future Danger was constructed, took into account testing delays, CDC pandemic push packages being staged, emergency use authorizations being granted, although only for test kits. There is no vaccine right now. Several of these things pulled from popular fiction and DHS websites, FEMA documents, open source. These are real things. They're all active now in the United States as of this week.
And I think, you know, I'm giving you a lot of props here, because I'm not saying you foresaw this per se, but you had so many indicators in Future Danger that went unreported or very minimal activity for multiple years. But now they're popping up, and it's exactly what we need to be worried about. And a perfect example is lab tests severely delayed. I don't think I've ever seen that on Future Danger before. Now we have five separate articles, all of extreme urgency of lab tests severely delayed. A personal question, why did you pick that as an indicator for Future Danger? And did you ever think, maybe I shouldn't, use that as one, it's never going to be used? Did you ever, where did you come up with that idea, number one? Number two, did you ever think it would hit this level? I suppose you did, but did you ever feel, that was never going to pop up, I should never have added that?
I read the research papers and the publicly available documents from the Department of Homeland Security, where pandemics have certain measurements, and test delays are definitely tracked by the federal government as an indicator that they're not in control of a pandemic.
That's a good way to put it. Actually, was it today or yesterday that the WHO technically classified this as a pandemic? I think so. So I'm going all the way back.
It was yesterday. Okay. And we cannot ignore the fact that the president went on air live from the Oval Office at 9 p.m. Eastern last night, no reporters present, and made a speech banning all travel to and from Europe that has no particular policy guidance accompanying with it. That was last night, and the entire gain in the stock market since the Trump presidency began was wiped out today.
Yep, we're pretty much back. I think I saw something where if you go back 3 years from today, so March 2017, about 2 months after Trump was in office, we're about flat from there. So,
and I got some breaking news. It's going to start to heat up column two if it heads in the same direction as inflammatory as it sounds. There is a propaganda war going on worldwide right now between the United States and China to blame either country for why this is happening. And now, from our perspective as American patriots, it's pretty clear this started in Wuhan, China. However, there were world military games there through several weeks before the first known cases of COVID-19. And today, a Chinese official, I haven't confirmed how high ranking, probably mid-level, but someone who represents the Chinese government said that U.S. soldiers who attended that event, and I cannot confirm the attendance of any U.S. military personnel at that through open sources, but the Chinese officials are saying that American soldiers brought it there.
The amount of cloak and dagger and crazy geopolitics, it's hard to know anything for sure from where I sit.
I know one thing for sure.
What's
that? How many Chinese citizens believe that now? That I know that there's a number. Yeah, well, there's a large number. And that's the type of thing you tell populations when you get ready to fight.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's the type of, like, to put a war foot and get that nationalistic fervor going. And whether it's true or not, I don't believe it's true, certainly. But like you said, it's the action and what they're saying and trying to get the population and probably the army itself amped up. Hey, look, they tried to poison us. Let's go get them.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. I'm sure there's a lot of conspiracy theories from every single angle. And we have no known cure for this thing. And schools in the United States are widespread shutting down. The world of sports is going to face a reckoning that it never envisioned. NBA basketball players have now tested positive. Hockey and basketball are, until further notice, canceled. We have
March Madness is over. My team, Purdue, wasn't going to make it anyway, but March Madness is over. NBA canceled. Olympics possibly canceled. Like you said, I think that's what really... I thought this was real already, and this made an impact to me, but I think to the average person that's not paying as much attention when they realize, oh my God, March Madness is canceled. LeBron James ain't playing in April or March. What's going to happen now?
Yeah, I'll tell you what might happen right now, because if you look at column one, we have things that are ostensibly common sense measures. But think of the impact. We have New York, Oregon, California, Ohio, all closing schools and banning public gatherings. Almost all those states was 250 at the time of this airing of this episode of Patriot Power Hour. New York had a 500 number. Nevertheless, it has only been since you and I joined Prepper Broadcasting Network in January,
yeah,
where the Intrepid Commander was in Richmond, Virginia,
yep,
with 15,000 armed citizens of Virginia standing up for their Second Amendment rights. And that type of event cannot happen when governors make these declarations without being at risk of civil unrest. The First Amendment is not absolute, and peaceable assembly is not reasonable during a pandemic, but the opportunity to pass laws that you were intimidated from passing might come right around the corner.
And that's the second, third, fourth order effect of this. And the way I look at it, I focus on it obviously from a financial point of view. That's my background. I feel like everyone can understand, maybe not understand the technicalities of money, but it affects every single person. And I feel as if my kind of analogy is looking at a demolition. And generally speaking, you have a lot of ordnance, a lot of explosives, but you have a very small trigger that starts that chain reaction. And whether it's the financial system or our society from a general, you know, a bigger picture, but I'm focusing on the finance here. There's a lot of rock. There's a lot of stuff that's been kicked down the road for years, maybe even decades. And coronavirus is serious, and it would have a negative impact on the economy and all these issues in of itself. But this trigger, even though it's a big issue, is just the start of it. And that's what I'm trying to get trying to express to folks, listen, if the financial system crashes, it's not because of coronavirus. Yes, coronavirus is serious. It's making a real effect, but it's just the primer. It's just the initiating charge on the house of finance that is already rigged for massive explosion. And I also think of that kind of culturally as well. I mean, you can blame coronavirus. It's a real deal, but don't let them get away with blaming it all on coronavirus, whether it's finance or otherwise. It's an issue, but they're going to try to use it as a scapegoat. That's my thought.
Yeah, and our republic doesn't deserve the financial and equities trading regime that we have. We are in the dark ages. This resembles prior a republic, a democratic republic. This is medieval because all we hear on our most important news sources for financial information is how markets need this statement from the Fed. The president said this in the market. And it is a child with a parent relationship. We are not mature enough as a civilization, apparently, to have free trading companies and have them at the risk of trading freely in a market. And that is most important said about the bank. Those repo loans are bailouts that for any other industry would have caused the businesses being bailed out to just go insolvent. They all failed completely today had that central banking regime propped it up with money from thin air, right? So someday, if this thing comes down, if we can come back to a place where banks can fail and investment is based on risk that is without the thought of a government swooping in and protecting it. And until this happens, you told me many times that every time this happens and it kind of gets under control again from modern monetary theory, all you're doing is compressing back market forces that someday have to release. How bad will this one be? What kind of spasm are we at towards the end of this unjust financial medieval regime called central banking that has completely adopted the fifth plank, the communist manifesto, the complete control of credit? I don't know. And I'm really worried about how many people are in danger while it happens.
Absolutely. And how are they going to spin it? And who's going to come in with a solution? And what is that solution going to be? So let's say I don't use CNBC as source material, but I use it as a little bit of comedic effect and a little decompression. But I watched a few clips on YouTube today. I certainly don't subscribe to CNBC. Don't give them any money, but had a couple clips on YouTube today. Google, I'll leave it at that. But long story short, Jim Cramer, everybody knows Mad Money Cramer. You know what he said? He said the federal government, U.S. Treasury, needs to issue $500 billion in debt immediately to backstop payrolls, to backstop loans. The Fed needs to come in and act as lender of last resort and make sure that there is not just an implicit but a literal contractual agreement and understanding that every single loan and every single debt obligation is backed up by the Fed. And that will bring about more, you know, that will stop the tide of selling. That will calm the panic. As you just said, mother and child relationship, but it's actually more, it's getting a lot worse. It's more like a crack dealer and a crackhead is how I look at it.
Yeah, it's interventionism and free market enterprise in the worst possible way. And if you're conservative and you're not anti-central banking, I don't know what system you're trying to conserve. Because this thing created since 1913 isn't working.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And listen, there's so much to talk about. We only got a few minutes left, but I swear, if you go back into the archives, I know a lot of people aren't going to do this, but go back and we talk about these issues day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. They've been building, kicking it down the line. And now we're at a time of reckoning. Okay. Is this the big collapse? Can the Fed and other central banksters keep it together? I know it's an opinion, but I want to hear what you have to say. Do you think the Fed or someone else, whether it's fiscal stimulus, we haven't seen, you know, massive tax cuts, which that's like the one stimulus I would like to see. Yes, cut taxes for the average person. That will help. But without going down a diatribe, because we're short on time and I'm pretty long-winded, I will admit. Do you think that this can be stemmed? Do you think this can be kicked down the road for a while? Not saying if it's good or bad, but do you feel that there will be a bounce back?
Yeah, I think that Dow Jones is not going anywhere near where it had been in February for a long time. But all of that financial speculation is so vital. We do it every week. But that's like a 500-meter target to me right now. And I'm looking at headlines that don't even fit Future Dangers paradigm. Didn't know how to classify it, and it's not been thought of. But there's reports that the president had a picture taken with someone, Brazilian, who has now been diagnosed. If this time next week we don't have a president operating, we could be talking 25th Amendment type things where the president's removed from office, or God forbid he actually contracts it and gets ill from it. The destabilization to our government could be extremely unprecedented. That came out today.
I saw that picture, and I feel, God, too many people make stuff political. I know it's a political age, and you got to make things political, but all I see is trash talking about, oh, well, if the economy goes down, at least Trump will be out of office.
Folks, I don't even want to go there. I'm talking about...
Go ahead.
A constitutional officer dying. Constitutional officers dying. Any member of Congress, any member of the Supreme Court, any president, those are the ones that are constitutional. They're named in the Constitution. And then start looking at, you know, governors in the states and their state constitutional officers. If this starts getting, you know, elected officials and highly appointed officials ill, the U.S. Pentagon announced today that all TDY, temporary duty travel, is canceled across the U.S. Armed Forces without general officer approval. That's unprecedented. The military is going on lockdown because the leadership and the parts of the structure of our national security apparatus start looking like it's in trouble, it invites all kinds of problems, foreign and domestic. I'm not trying to frighten people, but at this point, your overnight repo operations are not the thing to be looking at next. If it gets worse, there's other indicators that are much more dire. We got to keep an eye on them this week.
That's a great segue. That's exactly the type of thing I wanted to end the show on. Again, this is a quick episode. Not even an episode, more of a daily audio cash special report. You know, people are focused on their 401ks. They're focused on, oh, I lost X thousands of dollars today. Yeah, that's painful, but you got to remember, that's kind of funny money to start with, number one. Number two, you got to essentially, at this point, I feel like we're in a state of war. And who is the enemy? Good question. There's a lot. But we got to start looking above and beyond just the interest rates, just the stock market. And to follow up on that, before I pass it back to you, remember, the stock market is less than 10% of the financial system. It's that debt. It's those corporate obligations. It's those government obligations, that sovereign debt that holds everything together. There's a reason we can buy all these things for cheap on Amazon from all these other countries. Of course, a lot of China, but there's India, other Eastern Asia, and even, you know, in Europe and other places too, where we get great deals and we've been spoiled rotten. And to some degree, America has earned that, whether via World War II or just our strong system and hard work ethic. But I feel as if we've been skirting along without feeling the ramifications for quite some time. And it's time. It's time for us to pay the piper. But there is, and I also agree, I'm not looking to scare people. I feel as if We can come out of this. We can out-innovate. There is light on the other side of the tunnel, but we got to face this first. We got to go through the fire, man. We got to go through the fire.
We're going to have to preserve our rights while we do it.
Well, that's perfect. That's exactly what we need to do. Screw the money. Let's preserve our rights. That is way more important than any Tesla stock. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're going to have an entirely different narrative by the time we do episode 88 next Tuesday. But in the meantime, that's a status report, and we had to come on emergency broadcast to get it out here on the Prepper Broadcasting Network. March 12th, 2020. Over to you, Ben.
Absolutely. Before I quit out here real quick, I will fall on the sword right here. Yeah, the market was down 10% today. Bitcoin down 25% one day. Down about 35% in the last week or so. Totally gutted the cryptocurrency. Gold, on the other hand, down 3% today. Still at pretty much a 4 or 5 year high. Greater than 1,500. Just 6 months ago, it was 1,250. So gold, King Gold, keeping it together. Bitcoin, other cryptos getting totally crushed. In my opinion, that has to do with that institutional investor. Wall Street and friends have been dipping their toe, or more than that, into crypto. They don't care about the technology. They don't care about the potential to revolutionize humanity with blockchain technology. Not even talk of Bitcoin, just blockchain technology. No, they are panicking. They're taking all risk off the table. They have massive amount of margin calls, which is kind of technical, but let's just say, hey, you get a knock on the door from the loan shark next door. Hey, I need my money now. Well, what are you going to sell? Bitcoin. You're going to sell stocks. You're going to sell all this stuff. Doesn't matter what the future outlook needs. You need cash. You need liquidity. That's my opinion of why Bitcoin's eating you know what. But, hey, King Gold, that's always strong. I love it. Gold's my favorite. Future Dan, we are out of here in just another minute or two. Do you have any further advice to our listeners? I know we got a lot of great listeners. I've spoken with several since we joined Prepper Broadcasting Network. They are in better position than 95% of folks in terms of actually prepping. They're not out there at Costco getting toilet paper, if you know what I mean. What type of advice or just general thoughts do you have for our listeners in terms of how to weather this storm and come out better on the other side?
Yeah, with your family, your friends, all your close connections that you got to keep, tabs on, and live in a household that's trying probably pretty soon to do self-quarantine if the cases spike in your area. Practice GATWA, where you're going, others you're taking with you or you'll be with, and what time you're going to be home, actions to take if you don't return on the time you said and you can't be connected. Mobile phone networks go down during crises. Cyber attacks are something that I'm sure authorities are definitely watching out for right now, especially from China. Don't expect normal to be normal. Make sure everybody knows where they are as you proceed so that you can, act reasonably and not have to panic where your loved ones are.
I think that's perfect. We are prepared. Some folks, like me at least, wish we were a little more prepared, but we prepared for a reason. We saw this coming. A lot of people aren't making jokes about preppers anymore, folks. So that's about all I have. I do want to throw up a quick ad for our Patreon to finish the show. Go check it out. It's only $2 a month. I'm going to throw that ad up here. Future Dan, have a good day tomorrow. We'll see what happens with the markets. Have a good weekend. We'll be back on St. Patrick's Day. And guess what? The Fed is meeting next week. So next week's show is going to be incredible.
Hold on. Stop the music. Are you supporting us on Patreon? Do you know that we are doing patron-only podcasts, videos, preparedness plans, incredible tools like our master preparedness schedule, all available at Patreon for $2 a month? $2. You've got that in your couch cushions. Not only that, that money goes to pay the bills for the network. We release ebooks from the hosts for free to our patrons. It's a tremendous opportunity. Not only is it a great value for $2 a month, but it makes a world of a difference for us. It pays the bills, to be frank. So support the network. Check us out at patreon.com/PBN. That's patreon.com/PBN. $2 a month. Patreon.com/PBN.